You're watching Revelation, the program with a biblical perspective. You're watching Revelation, understanding world events from the past to the present and into the future. Our guest today again is author and teacher Barry Smith. He's written several books, mainly focusing on the New World Order. However, as Barry has many years of studying about eschatology, that is understanding end time prophecies, he will no doubt talk to us again about how the New World Order fits in perfectly with biblical prophecies which are having fulfillment in our day. Barry, the previous programs were still talking about the New World Order, and want to know really how America fits into this.
Many people have said that America is not mentioned in the prophecies, but having read some books by others, such as David Wilkerson and others who have seen visions and God has revealed certain things to them, the suggestion has been made that Revelation 18 is a picture in part of Mystery Babylon, economically speaking, and politically speaking. We know that Revelation 17 is the city of Rome, the city of the seven hills. That's very clear, the headquarters of the world church, which will be a combination of Catholicism, Protestantism, Eastern religion, and so on. Now, Revelation 18, I'm quoting from verse 10, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the suggestion has been made, and I agree with this, that this refers to New York City, the home of Wall Street, the home of the United Nations. And then we read in verse 17, for in 1 hour so great a riches has come to naught. Every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? In one of my books, I have 25 reasons why that refers to New York. And a careful reading of Revelation 18 shows that there's something going to happen there. Wilkerson, a great man of God, I believe, in New York, the author of The Cross and the Switchblade, David Wilkerson, said this, that Saddam Hussein, for one, is threatening America, in particular New York City, to give them a hard time. He said, America's given me a hard time. I'll send in bubonic plague. I'll send in all sorts of plagues with these chemicals and biological weapons that cannot be traced at airports and flood the sewers of New York and cities like that with, say, bubonic plague, let the rats pick it up, carry it. And then we quote from Revelation 18 and verse 8. Listen to this. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong as the Lord God who judgeth her. I don't want to be seen as a doomsday man, Howard, but
it does apparently come across like that.
Not too good,
it?
Is it? I mean, what happened here in London in 1666? Remember? Great fire in London. Why?
Because of the plague.
So the only way to cleanse a city from that particular problem is fire. Just an interesting scripture that's worth observing. Now, in America at the moment, we have the elections coming up. You've got Bush and Gore. And the one that I'm hedging my bets on, and I'm not really a betting man, but if I was to use the phrase, would be Bush. Bush, of course, belongs to a society that his father belonged to before him and his father before him. The name of the society is called the Skull and Bones, sometimes called the Order, sometimes called 322. It has German origins. It has a swastika on the wall. Can you believe this? And their meeting hall at Yale University, they have the skulls of such famous personalities as the Indian chief, what was his name, Geronimo. And they've got all these bones and so on in there, and they have a very strange initiation system. Now remember that George W. Bush, the man who's going for the presidency next month, in the month of November, belongs to the society. In order to get into it, you've got to go through an inauguration system where you go through a ceremony like being locked in a tomb, until you scream your head off with fear, and they wrestle in a bath of mud. These are some of the initiations, in the nude, mind you, excuse me. The other one is to lie in a coffin also unclosed and tell the secrets of your past life to the other 14 members of the club, which means that any time in the future when you go against the plans that they have for a one world government.
Where do you get this information from? It seems barbaric and it seems quite...
It is.
...out of character with the sort of picture you have of these...
These men don't tell you this stuff, do they? It comes from a book, you can read a book by Anthony Sutton. I have the addresses and so on for his books. Anthony Sutton wrote a book on the audit. Another man called Ron Rosenbaum. Those are the only two authors that I know have ever said anything about the secret society. The men involved in it are not allowed to say anything about the society. If the word the order comes up with Skull and Bones, they must leave the room immediately. They will never discuss it. Each of these men who join has a secret code name. For example, George Bush, the ex-president's name was Poppy. I don't know what they're going to call George Bush Jr. if he gets the job. But I would say he was one of the most likely men to get the job. Now, what they want to do is bring in a new form of government for the world. It's called, by Tony Blair, the Third Way. It's called by the American politicians reinventing government. Anybody watching this program today, write those two terms down, please. Watch for them on your newspaper. The Third Way means that to this point in history, most countries have worked on a two system. You've had the government and the opposition. But this one is a different one altogether, where they bring in big business, which takes the place of the power. They sit in the power chair. Let me quote to you from some articles picked up on the plane on the way over here. This is from the Wall Street Journal. Tuesday night's election debate finally settled the argument. This election is about something more fundamental, the very role of government in the 21st century. There it is. Now, for Republican George W. Bush, the surplus makes it possible not just to provide a tax cut, but to finance a remodeling of the House of Government, making it feel smaller and work differently. When the job is done, the government would provide services with the help of market forces. There's your big business, your multinationals, rather than over the resistance of market forces. And then in the Wall Street Journal, Europe, on the 5th of September, October, we read here, one thing is clear, the campaign so far isn't offering a clear mandate for either Gore or Bush's vision of the role of government. It's got to do with a change in government. It's called a New World Order, where a world government takes the place of all national governments and they become puppets on strings and do exactly what they're told.
Do they realise they're becoming used in that role as puppets? Or are they willingly going along with it?
They must know. They must know. They can't be stupid. I mean, these people, I'm just waiting for one bold politician to stand up and tell the people what I'm saying. Why should I rush around the world wasting my time explaining all this and studying all this when a politician involved in it knows that this is true? Why doesn't he just get up and say, look, I'm not really running the show. I'm being told what to do. And if I don't do what I'm told, I get the sack. It's as simple as that. Now, let's go a little bit further. I'll make a statement now. The presidents in America are not elected. They are chosen beforehand.
That's a bold statement.
That's a bold statement. Now, in one of my books, I have the quote here. Says Ronald Reagan was written up in the Webster's Dictionary as the next president of the United States even before the elections were held.
Can that be proved?
Yes, it can be. You can check it up. It says the Consul General in Auckland, New Zealand, said unbelievable. And the publishers of the dictionary had no explanation as to how that took place.
So obviously they were well aware who was going to be elected.
They knew. And they know already in America who's going to win this one. They know whether it's Bush or Gore. Both men, by the way, are world government people, but my guess is Gore will get it because Bush will get it because he belongs to the Skull and Bone Society. At the moment, Gore's ahead in the polls, but I still think Bush will get it.
But either way, the New World Order Society wins.
Yes. Now,
gets their man in.
Now, let's go a little further. I want to go
further. Have you ever been sued, Barry?
Well, I mean, there's plenty of opportunity to do it because my statements are outrageous.
They are. And what about the ones that were made in the first programme about the Masons? I mean, it's quite interesting. Have you not had any repercussions?
Well, they can't because, I mean, it would simply bring out all this stuff. They don't want people to know all this. They want people to think that their society is concerned with building hospitals, looking after young people and so on. These are good things.
But they've never sued you?
They can't.
Why?
Well, how could they? Because simply all this stuff comes out in the open, you see. And they don't want it to come out in the open. That's the point. I mean, the Salvation Army, they do good things too, but they don't take oaths to cut their throats and rip their chests open and so on.
My point is, though, Barry, if they haven't sued you, then perhaps what you're saying is true.
Well, it would need to be, otherwise I wouldn't be bold enough to say it. Let me go a little bit further. I have an article at home saying that there is a book being written called Vote Scam. And in America, of course, they're doing the voting system at the moment. It's getting ready for that. And when we had Milosevic go out the other day, I found the answer to how it's done. Now, if this is true, how come Clinton got away with what he did and still was considered to be popular?
I know.
Now, how did that happen? When they took polls and so on, they said he was still... Now, I said, someone's got to be fiddling with the polls, surely. This is how it was done. I'm reading from the International Herald Tribune, 5th of October in the year 2000, rigged data seen by Milosevic foes. I'll read here. In an interview, Mr. Labus said the software had flags, the word flags is in inverted commas, that gave operators options to include prefabricated voting totals into otherwise accurate results. He said the Electoral Commission appeared to have counted Mr. Kostyanyuka's votes accurately, but added not more than 170,000 votes to Mr. Milosevic's totals. So these are in the system. Now, in America, the voting is counted by a private firm, I discovered. And someone's written a book about it. It's called Vote Scam. And when they interviewed the people in charge of this counting system, they said, do you have outside observers coming in checking on what you're doing? They said, no. Then the interviewer said, well, you have no paper record of all these votes, have you? No, it's all on computers. And this is how it could be done, you see, by using these flags, leaving a space in the computer there so they can put their own results in and choose the man of their choice. It's very, very dangerous indeed. And what we need to do almost is go back to the old paper system where you can recheck the paper counting of the votes, you see. But the computers are very dangerous things to work with. If you're clever enough, you can fiddle the system.
So how are we ever going to know what the truth is as regards to elections then in a democracy?
Well, in a democracy, you can no longer trust the system because the people who are pulling the strings in the background are controlling more than we realise.
And this is all to bring really to head a conspiracy for bringing the New World Government order in?
Yes, it is.
So all these people are, as it were, being groomed and brought in and put in line in the right positions of government, etc., or leadership?
Yes, they are. Now, let's recognise, too, that the people who are organising all this are not evil people. I mean, they're not out to do an evil thing. They really feel this is a good way to go, where we're all brothers and sisters, we sell out our assets, we become under one head, and naturally we can't fight each other because you may have an asset I need and I have an asset you need. It's called interdependence, very clever plan. And that's taking place right now.
So this is part of the globalisation?
It's globalisation, yes.
Can you just briefly outline your perspective on that?
Well, my country, New Zealand, as you well know, was well known for lamb and so on and dairy products. Not now. They're driving the sheep off the land. They're driving away the cattle. They're planting pine trees everywhere. Our country is now responsible for pine logs because we grow them quicker there than anywhere in the world apart from Chile, which is on the same hemisphere, the same latitude. Then Australia, our next door neighbour, was well known for steel and sheep meat, wool. Not now. They're closing down the steel mills in Wollongong and Newcastle. They're driving the sheep off the land. They're putting them in pits in the ground and shooting them by the million. I've actually seen photographs and video clips of that happening. Cutting down on the food supplies and also getting rid of sheep. Australia is now responsible for wheat for the southern hemisphere, and so on. So the aim of the exercise is this: if we want something, we have to go to another country to get it. We're all brothers. We cannot fight each other.
Interdependency.
The new world order will bring about love in the hearts of men and women. They will no longer fight one another. All wishful thinking.
It's a very good, positive
step
forward.
Sounds good.
What's the danger?
The danger is the Word of God tells me the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He says, I, the Lord, I understand. There's only one person who could bring about a world government, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Any other system will fail, believe me. And we are told exactly in the Word of God how long it will last, 3.5 years under the power of this great world leader, Antichrist. You remember we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, that at a certain time in history, the prophets said there would be a world leader arise who would bring about a new world monetary system. I want to speak about that in this program. But also I discovered that there was another phrase used there, the mystery of iniquity. That's in verse 7. Now, the mystery of iniquity, we now understand, is simply the takeover of the world by Luciferian groups who are determined to get rid of the nation state and set up an interdependent world government where every country relies upon everybody else to keep the show going.
In essence, that's a very good thing to do, isn't it, for the benefit of the whole mankind?
Oh, yes, it sounds really good. Now, if I didn't have the book here, I wouldn't know the end result of all this. It sounds good, but the scriptures also say there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Man planning without God cannot possibly get things right, because God is the only one who knows how to put things together properly. After all, he made the place. He should know how to run it. Now, when I look at the scriptures, I find this is the only book that speaks with authority about where we came from, what we're doing here, and where we're going to. And then I hear of a group in America who is involved in this world government plan called the Trilateral Commission, run by David Rockefeller. Now, his plan was to divide the world into three regions. And here are the regions. First of all, Europe, with their own economic system called the Euro and their own standing army. That would include Africa and a few other countries as well. The other group was America, the Americas, from the northern tip of Alaska down to the tip of South America, using the American dollar as their currency and their own standing army. Now, this is the one that interests me. The Asia and the Pacific region have been linked together. That's where I come from. And I could never work out why, when I watched CNN News, I had to wait for the Asian edition to find out what was happening on my side of the world. The news was always read to me by an Asian commentator. I thought, this is funny. And then I learned that we were having meetings regularly in that part of the world called APEC, Asia Pacific Economic Cooperation. And I discovered that New Zealand and Australia are now considered, under the world government auspices, part of Asia. Well, we are part of Asia. Let me read to you now a prophecy from Revelation 17, verse 19. The final world government set up is called Mystery Babylon. And I'm reading to you from verse 19. And the great city was divided into three parts. There it is. And the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God. There's the scripture. Babylon will be divided into three parts. When was this predicted? 96 AD. And is happening in the year 2000. There's another prophecy. Then I discovered, it just goes on and on and on, I discovered that there would be a world monetary system that would be the roof on the world government house. Do you remember? We talked about that in the last program. The foundation, 1776, Illuminati, the authors of the seals on the American dollar. 1987, the framework for the house went up in New Zealand. The whole world is now following the New Zealand plan, including Tony Blair, who has been down there looking at the situation. Germany's following it. Papua New Guinea's following. Everybody is following the New Zealand plan. Then we had the electrician come in. The Y2K problem was designed and executed at the end of 1999, and now the whole system is wired. Every computer has been set up and made compatible, ready for the electronic monetary system that's coming in. Now we need a monetary crash, which Alan Greenspan is speaking of already. He's saying, we know it's going to come. We're not quite sure when, but they're going to crash the whole world economy shortly. And of course, a big earthquake, such as they had in Japan yesterday, 7.1 on the Richter scale, if that hits Tokyo, the whole of Tokyo will fall into the sea, because Tokyo is built around the harbour on sand. The whole thing would just shiver away, and that would be the finish of the world economy.
Within 1 hour.
Japanese yen goes down within 1 hour. They withdraw their investments from every other country around the world to rebuild Tokyo, and that will bring about the world collapse of monetary system. So when that happens, we then see the mark of the beast comes in, and that was spoken of in Revelation 13, 16 to 18. Let me read. Written in 96 AD, by the way. And he causes all, he's your Antichrist, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or their foreheads. No man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And the number we know is verse 18. What is it?
666.
There it is, 666. Six digits on the computer for your birthday, six digits on the computer for your location or mesh block, and six digits for your ID. Howard, I've got it in my pocket. Have a look at this. Here's the final one. New Zealand are first again. They've given us a digitalised driver's licence. Here, have a look at this one. There it is. Now, if you don't get one of those in my country now, this is what happens to you. They catch you, your car is confiscated on the spot, you have to walk home, your car is gone until you get one of those licences.
Is that stringent?
That's the way it is. I've never heard of such a thing. It was suddenly forced upon us. 750,000 New Zealanders are rebelling against it at the moment, and they say we will not receive one. When they get pulled up by a traffic cop, their car is confiscated, they say, we don't care. They go off and buy another one for $200, and the police yards are packed full of confiscated cars now because people don't want to go along with this system.
How does this relate to the 666?
Here's the problem. The problem is that that photograph is digital, the signature is digital. And when I went to receive that license, I had to look into a box now, and they photographed my iris. I've got no doubt about that. The iris is photographed.
And it's unique. Everyone's iris is unique.
Unique. When I come to London now, as soon as I walk through the airport at Heathrow, they can have that picture sent ahead of me. And as I come through, they'll say, here comes Barry Smith. Do you get the idea?
Yeah.
Every country on earth can receive my photograph on the computer because it's now digitalised. Now, that is a wicked system. There's their ID.
But the benefits to something like this from a government point of view is that they can track criminals.
Of course they can.
And they could be alerted very quickly in another country that they're about to receive somebody who perhaps they don't want to receive.
Well, there's always got to be a good side, otherwise people won't go along with it.
Exactly, and that's the subtlety of it all, isn't
that's
it?
That's the subtlety of it all.
Can I just say that,
yes.
Thank you, Barry,
yes.
For that, that the Book of Revelation, to set the scene really here, it's because we're reading scriptures from here, and some people might say, well, so what? You know, it's an old book, it's an ancient book. But Revelation is quite unique. In chapter 1 of verse 3, it says, blessed is he who reads aloud the words of these prophecies.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we are going to benefit by understanding the prophecies that are in here.
Not only the readers, but the hearers as well.
And those who listen to the words.
Now, this is good because, I mean, over the years, as an ex-school teacher of 15 years' experience, I've been criticised uphill and down dale for speaking on these things. Even Christian people get upset with the stuff that I bring out.
And I bet they do.
Well, I say, why do you do it? I said, listen.
Don't want to rock the comfort zone, do you?
I said, one third of the Bible is prophecy. And it just happens I got into it, and I believe I had a divine revelation that I should do this. I've told the story in my previous visit here, a supernatural encounter in the island of Rarotonga, to write down the things I had learnt and so others could read it and run and tell others. Now, I get letters continually from all over the world, from Tibet and all over the place. People who've got so angry, they've read my books, thrown them in the fire, suddenly changed their mind, pulled them out of the fire, beat out the flames, read the last page and asked Jesus into their lives, you see. Because for the first time in history, I told my children that we are living in an age when we can now prove the Bible is the Word of God. Revelation 19:10 says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. If what the Bible says predicted comes true, then the rest of it must be true also. We must be born again. And here's your money system coming in, mark of the beast. I've got it here. Let me show you. It's a silicon chip. I'm now showing you, Howard, a silicon chip inside a plastic block. Mm-hmm. I'll show
That's
you.
That's right in the centre there, right?
Yeah, the little chip is in the centre. Here is a blow-up of the thing. Look at this one. It's a little glass tube with electronics inside it. There it is. They're using it on dogs and cats and fish and birds and horses.
Injecting it.
Injected it. Here's the injector. Look at it. We're actually looking at this.
It's very tiny then.
Oh. Now, if you want to know who the dog is, you simply use this thing here, a scanner. There's the scanner.
Mm-hmm.
You go like this. Scan. The message comes from the dog, from the chip, and implanted in its neck. You push the button, read. You read his name is Rover. He's owned by Mr. and Mrs. Brown, 16 King Street, you know, somewhere in London. And the telephone number is there. These people want to go now quickly on beyond animals to human beings. And I can prove this in any meeting. I've got a bag full of information.
This is an identity chip.
It's an identity chip. Now,
this is going to progress into...
It's progressing into a people identification as spoken of in the Word of God. So we're living in the days when this prophecy is literally being fulfilled.
No, it's the right hand or the forehead that's been reserved.
It's what it says here, right hand or forehead.
This is chapter what again?
Revelation 13, 16 to 18. Some people believe the mark of the beast is the keeping of Sunday in opposition to Saturday. That's not the point of the argument. It's to do with buying and selling.
This has total control of one's life, really, because
yes.
If you cannot buy food to eat, to supply for your family, which we take for granted every day. We can go down
yes.
to the shops and buy something. If you're not going to be in a position, and you, if you like, you're going to be singled out because you don't have this mark, if you you will suffer the consequences. So it's a difficult one, isn't it? How are we going to escape this?
The only way that people can escape this is to recognize a basic principle. Here's the principle. The whole thing starts, of course, the whole problem starts with these seals on the dollar here. If this is a spiritual problem, which it is, that's the eye of Lucifer or Satan, we must go back to that point and find the answer there. If the problem is spiritual, the answer is also spiritual. Don't try and fight this problem in the flesh. The answer is to let people know, because we have a spiritual problem, we need a spiritual answer. It is in Jesus Christ, a relationship with him, not a religion. Religion never changed anybody for the good. A relationship does. Jesus said, you must be born again. And at the end of every one of our public meetings, I give the invitation. People come to the front. They make a public declaration of their faith in Christ. It is a covenant done in the presence of men and women, God himself and the angels watch as well, of course. They pray a simple prayer like this. Lord Jesus, I come to the cross where you died for me. Three things. I repent of my sin. I turn away from my old selfish life, living only for myself, and I turn to Jesus. Forgive me, Jesus, for my life of sin to this point. Number two, I believe your blood is enough. It says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness for sin. Yours is enough for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Number three, I open the door to my life and receive Christ. The Bible says, to as many as receive him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God.
Thank you, Barry. Join us again next week so that you can get a better understanding of world events and how it affects us. Please stay tuned.
The views expressed in the Revelation programs are not necessarily the views of Revelation TV.